Okay, we left off in the last year, so we're discussing this principle of chayz v'neir. Does it exist? Does it not exist? So the Atnamish, the Shalom on one side of the spectrum to the other. We had the Russian Asuya was the biggest believer, the biggest supporter of the concept of chayz v'neir under all circumstances. Yavishviyavishes and lachbalachs and bitla b'roz and shishims and mayam, as you name it, it's going to come back to life. Chayz v'neir, that's the Russia's extreme. Then you had other Rishonim, more mamish in the other camp, more gamma in the other camp, said no. They supported the opposite theory. The opposite theory is called kama kama batil. That was the shittas arayvet, when the arayvet said kama kama batil, lagamre, you name it. Yavish b'yavish, lach b'lach, witam adalta, ambitl b'shish rey. Once it's over, it becomes dabra mutter, not to worry about it. To such an extent that the arayvet was willing to accept that if I have a pot of potato soup and a little chaza falls in, and then 10 minutes later, mocha, happens 100 times, and now I got 99% chazir. Doesn't matter, says the rabbi, it's vital, everything's mutter. Kama, kama, bottle. So you had extreme rishonim from one end of the spectrum to the other. Then you had other rishonim somewhere in the middle who were walking the tightrope. That sometimes yes, sometimes no. That was the Ramban. Ramban said that if there's tam, the game's over. Tam, nothing we can do to be matter tam. If there's no tam, then we can negotiate the kama, kama, bottle. Why would the Ramban willing to negotiate kama kama? What was forcing the Ramban's hand to kama kama bottle? Gemara ben Zohar wasn't the best ride, because the Gemara ben Zohar says kama kama bottle according to Sheik, we don't pass it like, so it's hard to make that much out of that Gemara. The real source of Ramban, the engine of driving Ramban, was the Mishnah in Orla. The Mishnah says that Orla is malas or Orla. A little bit of Orla became bottle, and then more Orla falls in. So you could use the original Orla that became bottle to add on to the number 200 to bring about the next set of Orla that falls in. That's a pretty strong support for the theory of kama kama batel. So we said at the very end of the shiur, right? Wednesday, didn't we talk about this? Very end of the shiur. So we said, how would the Rush respond to this? So we said the Rush was really in a pickle, because the Rush, in our sugya, is the biggest supporter of kama kama batel. How's he, the biggest anti-supporter of kama kama, the biggest supporter of Chazim Neir, how's he going to address that Mishnah? So the Rush from left field in his parish of Mishnaya said, no. It says Orla, it doesn't. Orla, what it really means is Revai, Orla, it's all the same thing. It's all the same thing, Belashim and Yadim, and not Belashim Isurim, and therefore, then and only then can the quote unquote Orla be Mevatel the Orla, because it's not really Orla in the first place. I think we left hanging on Wednesday, and everyone's just, the suspense has just been, I could just feel it palpable in the air as to, we're very, very nervous to go down the Ravid's approach. And we're even nervous to go down the Ramban's approach. Somehow in our heart of souls, we really like this Rush. We're big believers in this Rush, of Chayz v'Neir. And between you and me, there are more Paskins like the Rush. So if you really truly believe Chayz v'Neir, is there another approach without forcing ourselves into the Rush? Again, if you'd ask the Rush personally, the Rush would say, I'm telling you that the answer is oil does get oil, and don't waste your time on another terrorist. But we want to, I can't even use this phrase, the Rush, the Rush. We want to go like almost like better than the Rush. We want to get our different types, our better types than the Rush. We want to save the Rush's fundamental Shita, and we want to somehow finagle out of the Mishnah of all the malas of oil. So comes the Bira Gra. I put the mark on our request. Okay, good. A little touch of that should be a little something.
Somebody
was telling me, my wife's uncle was telling me, Shabbos, he's telling me that the Rav Shach was saying over a shiur something, he was quoting the Ketzos. So in the middle of the shiur, after quoting the Ketzos, Rav Shach said to the Tamidim, he said, so you may be wondering, he said, what do you need me for? You can read the Ketzos yourselves. So Rav Shach, that was his kasha. So his teretz is, so Rav Shach said, but I'm alive, he said. So even though I'm just quoting the Ketzos, at least I'm here, I'm alive, he said. There's a mila of the Rebbe being there. That was the Milo. Shach thought that was his only Milo that he had, that he was alive. That was the only reason why he was there. So hopefully she'll have a lot of Milos. But anyway, so the Gra, you can read the Gra Gra herself. At least I'm presenting the Gra Gra for you, so you don't know. Save each other, my friend. So comes the Gra Gra and says the following insight. Comes the Gra Gra and says that you want to know, what do we really believe about Kama Kama Batel? Do we really, really accept Kama Kama Batel or not? Or on the other end of the spectrum, do we really, really accept Chayz v'Neir or not? Says the Gra. What's the answer? Two words. It depends. But what does it not depend upon? It does not depend on, according to the Ramban, also dependent on something. According to neither the Rive nor the Rush, it's dependent on anything, just they have different ends of the spectrum. The Ramban said it depended on Tom versus no Tom. Says the grown up. That's not what it really depends upon. You know what it depends upon? It depends on Deraisas versus Derabanans. He said, whenever there's a concern for a din Deraisa, so then on a level of Deraisa, we have to say Chayz B'Neir. Chayz B'Neir is a principle Deraisa that Derabs is over, it's Nikar Isser, the game's over, you gotta start over from scratch. You can't just hide behind Kamakama Botil. Not only can you not hide behind Kamakama Botil when there's Tam, even if there's no Tam, if there would be a concern Deraisa, you could not hide behind Kamakama Botil. So where do we find the Chazal willing to be made of Kamkar Voto? That Hele Gemishn Orla. What's the problem, Mishnah of Orla? How serious a problem is that Shear in the Mishnah of Orla? It's the Shear of Masayim. We know the answer to that question. Is the Shear of Masayim a Din Derais or Din Derabban? Come on, everybody knows that. What's the answer? According to Tosfos, it's only Shear Derabban. It's only Nasbach. The Mid Deraisa, Chad B'Trei Voto. It's like anything else. So the whole Mishnah of to be Oilev, the Shear of Masayim, which is only Yechulim Midrabbonim's up the ground, the Chiyai Gavna, we could say Kamakar Boto. Chazal, Himam, Rimam. Chazal was willing to make on Shirum the Rabbonon to rely on Kamakar Boto. But Lu Yitzuyu would be a Shir Deraisa, even if you know Tam. Let's say you would have so much oil that was added that you don't have wine anymore. You don't even have Rove anymore, so then you would never say Kamakar Boto. Once you enter into a territory of an Issa Deraisa, then the game's over in terms of Kamakar Boto. That's the Goyim's Pshat. Just by the way, anyone should be able to figure out, why do you think the Ramban wasn't even on the radar screen to give such a terence? Ramban could have said such a terence because the Ramban was noches lekach that 200 Rebbe Deraisa. Remember that old Ramban from other sugyas. So the Ramban, the Shitoso, couldn't have given that terence. The Gura wasn't the Sechayt to that Ramban. The Gura was going to be Chris Rashi and the regular Rishonim that the Shia Masayim is only the Rabbanan, and he used that to explain why you should or should not say Kamakama Botel. So when all the dust settles, we have multiple answers, multiple approaches to Kamakama Botel. You have the biggest Mekilim in the world, and that's the Shita Saraibin. Then you have the biggest Machimirim in the world, that's the Rush. The Rush himself does not hold like the Scrub, because the Rush says, Chaz Ben Neir, even where? He says, even by Shurim Darabonim, right? He says it by Imin Bamino, by the Evil Yahavit Baro. So the Rush is not the Gra. The Gra is trying to give answer to the Mishnah of Orla without having to fall all the way back in the Rush. So at the end of the day, we have four Mahalchim now as to what our take is of these two claws of Kamakar Boto versus Chayz V'Neir. You have the Raivin on the one extreme that everything under the sun is Kamakar Boto and Chayz V'Neir we never heard of. You have the Rush who says everything is Chayz V'Neir, never ever heard of Kamakar Boto. The only place in Shas where Kamakar Boto appears is in Avodah Zarah, where the Gemara immediately nixes it and rejects it. So Lemais, it doesn't exist at all. Then you have the Ramban who says we accept it partially, but not by Tam. And the Gro says we accept it partially by Drabonans, but not by Deraisa. So those are the four basic Mahalchim in the Gedolei HaRishonim, in the Goyim, in that category as well, in terms of when you do or do not say Kamakar Boto. But the reality is that, at least according to some Rishonim, Kamakar Boto is on the radar screen. When the Rav always, the Ramban sometimes, the Gro sometimes, it's not rejected legamrei. There is a concept of Kamakar Boto sometimes. And now we have to go the next step. Within those Rishayim and Acharonim who accept Kamakar Boto to some degree, vis-a-vis certain Surim, are there any kind of presentations of Taroves that don't lend themselves to Kamakar Boto? Even if we're in a category of Halacha, we're in a type of a Taroves that in theory should be subject to Kamakar Boto, at this point the Rush has left. Sunday morning, the Rush didn't come to Shia today because going to the Rush, I never heard of Kamakama Boto. It was a fleeing Hava meeting at the end of Avodah Zarah, long gone. But within the worldview of the Ramban, and within the worldview of the Raivin, and within the Hel Gagoin, the Kamakama Boto remains on the table to some limited degree, or some inclusive degree. Are there any Taroivism that just don't lend themselves, any presentation of the particular Taroivis that doesn't lend itself to Kamakama Boto? So there are three different Taroivism that the Rishonim highlight. None of them are classic. None of them have to do with chaza falling into potato soup. None of them have to do with the things that we're used to. Each one is it's in its own area of halacha. Most people look at me and say, Tara, I don't even see the tarobas here. It's a different imagery altogether. But first they have to brainwash you that there is a tarobas here. And then I have to completely brainwash you twice Now, to explain to you why, even though this is a tarovis, the presentation of this particular tarovis doesn't lend itself to the principle of kamakav batil. Who can tell me the three tarovisim? There were three strange scenarios that don't even look like it was tarovis in the classic sense, but if you think about it long enough, then you realize that they are, and then you'll have to discover for me why kamakav batil doesn't play a role. Wants to guess? What mechitza kerem difference is one? That's not mechitza kerem, is the same one. Teshuva is the next week. Yeah, Nesach. We got rid of. We're done with that already. Yerek she'akro b'shvius, not the b'shminis. What was the third?
Mahir
Hatzitz. Rabu. Notvin al Azochlin. Didn't see that in passing in the Tosfos. Rabu Notvin al Azochlin. Nobody saw that? What?
I don't know what it meant.
You know what it meant, but you saw it. Did you see it?
Yeah.
Good. Baruch Hashem. Okay, so it's on the American. Okay. Okay, so I guess you need a Rebbe. Yeah, it's okay. Baruch Hashem. Okay. All right. No? Let's do some work, Rabbi Say. Learn a little Kol Torah Kula, let's see if we can put them together. This is the Shiraim of the last sugya. This should have taken us about 5 minutes, hopefully it'll take us another 35 minutes. It's not of kavua, not a good for tomorrow. No, Rabbi Say, if not, we'll tell some jokes at the end of this year. No, Rabbi Say, let's go, let's hear it. Let's hear the cases. Who's going to tell me? Who's going to tell me the first case? Nah, I don't want to start with that one. I want to start with another one. Okay? Here's the one I want to start with. I want to start with the Gemara Masechet Dor. Come on, Tosfos quoted this one, right? Okay. Anyone looked it up in the Gemara Nadar? I put it in the Gemara Karmas Nadar? No. Okay. Comes the Gemara Masechet Nadarim. Where's the Dachman Beis? Is that where it is? One of the days of the Vishesh Batir. Comes the Gemara says like this. I have a vegetable. And the vegetable grew during the Shnas HaShemitah. Now, that statement in and of itself is a loaded statement. Because something that grows during the Shnas HaShemitah can have so many different repercussions of that statement. First of all, it has Kedusha Shvius. Anything that grows during the Shas HaShemitah has a whole peck of halachas that govern it. Let's say, Lamashal, just very, very quickly, give me just one or two, just really, really quickly. What are some things you have to know about something that has Kedusha Shvius to it?
You can sell it. A lot of it.
It's tough as dumb. You can't eat it. I think we're due for a Shemitah, yes. We're going to reacquaint it here, okay? Having Kedusha Shvius means, number one, you're not allowed to destroy it. You have to, so you wouldn't be able to just stop and destroy it. Number two, you have to consume it before the Shas HaBiur. Means at the time when it's, the Shas HaBiur is the time when it's no longer found around in the fields. It has to be before the Shas HaBiur, and if not, you have to do Biur on it, whatever that means. It's also a Shaila. There are half a dozen other halachas that you're not allowed to do schayra with it, you're not allowed to do a whole business. There are many, many halachas, many, many limitations on things after the shishvias. In addition, vegetables and other kinds of crops that are planted annually, not fruit of the tree, but annual plants, have another halacha to them during Shnas HaShemitah. That, what? You're not allowed to eat them altogether. You're not allowed to eat vegetables that grow in Shemitah, even if they grew by themselves. You didn't violate any issa. What's that called? That's called Svichit. There's an issa with the Rabbanah that was made. Who was with us in Kedushin? Remember Svichit? Nice. Okay. Chazal made an issa de Rabbanah that anything that's usually planted every year in, year out, even if it grows wild during the Shnas HaShemitah, you're not allowed to partake of it. Why? Very simple. Gezeira, the what? You may come to the planter. So there's machlekes at Tanoim. Rabbi Akiva held that the issa svichin is an issa de Araisa, and the Rabbanah disagreed with Rabbi Akiva. We probably hold that svichin is only an issa de Rabbanah. Fruit, there's never just a svichin on fruit, because what do you mean you're going to plant it? The tree, you plant a tree, now it lasts for the next 500 years? So the Gezeira Derabanan wasn't made. So Midda Araisa, vegetables that grow during Shemitah, they're not allowed to be eaten. They have Kedusha Shvius. You have to be careful with them, all the halachas, but Lamais, you're allowed to eat them. Midda Rabbanan, you're not even allowed to eat them. So there are a lot of halachas that govern these vegetables. So comes the Gemara has the following shayla, the Maseches Nedarim. Let's say you have this vegetable that grew during Shemitah, Botzel, it was grew during Shemitah. So it has all the Kedusha Shvius and all the limitations, and now the Yisrael Derabanan, everything, lock, stock, and barrel. So it's basically handled. Now what do you do? Then you go ahead and you replant this in the Shminis, in the Shnas HaShminis. So now it's starting to grow during the eighth year. So what's happening now? So look at this. You have a very strange thing. You have an onion. that was this grew during the Shemitah year. But then when you replant it, what happens? It starts to get what? It starts to get fatter. Now it's this big. Now, if you think about it, again, I don't know the intricacies of growth of onions, but if you think about it, part of the onion is seventh year vegetable, part of the onion is eighth year vegetable. The seventh year part is not too good. The eighth year part is very good. Do you know what you have? Can you tell which is which? No, you cannot tell. You need Ruach HaKadosh to tell you which part of the onion is eighth year growth, which part is seventh year growth. Which cells came about in the eighth year, which cells were there, which I couldn't even begin to contemplate how to be Mashiach this. So comes the Gemara and says, it's a very, very simple question. But now, Rabbi, can I eat this onion? What's the answer? What does the Gemara say? Kevin Shewa? Kevin Sherabu Gidulov Shalheter Ali Karai, it becomes mutter. As long as, let's say, the size of the onion before was X, and now if it's more than 2X, now it's 10X. So now it's much bigger than the original onion that was treif. So the treif part of the onion was X amount. Now I have kosher part of the onion, which is more. Guess what? You won't believe it, but the non-kosher part, the shviyas part, is bata b'la. What? Bata b'raif. As Nava said last night on the plane, so a lot of plenty of times I got him pash mishpatim. I got the chiram mahatas. I was telling the guy next to me. He was like a light. But achiram mahatas, gavaldik, meridik. Wow, fantastic. So this is another application of achiram mahatas. This is one example. Comes Taisus and asks the kasha. I don't understand. I knew what's Taisus kasha. What's Taisus kasha? Kama bottle. This is kama bottle that should work against us. Namely, how can the Gemara say that when the rubble gidula, when the eighth year part is bigger than the seventh year part, everything's hunky dory? No, it's not. When the eighth year starts, let's say I take it and Gimel Tishrei after Rosh Hashanah, I start to replant it. So it starts to grow a little bit. So a molecule of heta grows. So that molecule of heta that first grows is bottle of elef alfi alof of the shvita part. So what should I say about that first growth of the onion? It should be batel in the seventh part. Say kama batel, and then when it grows a little more, nachamu kama batel, nachamu kama batel. Even though I got to the point of row, every point along the way was kama batel. So frektayz akash and the gemara nedarim nachman zayin. According to those who accept kama batel, why don't you say kama batel here and negate the ability of this onion to become mutter? That tells us presentation. So which Rishonim are listening to this kash and say we don't believe this kash? Which great Rishon would say this is not the kash? You know why there's no kama kama bato? Because there's no such thing as kama kama. It just doesn't exist. There's no such animal called kama kama. So that's the end of the story. But according to the Ravi who said kama kama bato with the rice even le kula, and according to the Ramban who says kama kama bato what? Me'ikar adin, it really does work with kula, except for this time. Here there's no time, it's only bimino. So according to the Ravid, according to the Ramban, the kama kama bottle is a real thing. The Gura maybe wouldn't be so bothered with this kasha, maybe. But according to those who showed him, said kama kama bottle works in a Torah, even the kula, it solves problem with the rice. According to the Ravid, it even knocks out nice and tam. And according to the Ramban, short of nice and tam, it solves problems with the rice. If it solves problems with the rice, why does it create problems with the rice? That's Taisus Kasha. That's what these are showing about. This is Gemara number one. Okay, so case number one is the Batzel. Alright? Now we need case number two. Okay, so now, who wants to tell me case number two? Now you can say what you wanted to say. So we're going to call case number two one of two possibilities, one of two applications. One is called Mechitza Keren Shenifritza. The other is called the Maver Atat Snokov. They're slightly different cases, but the principle behind them is identical. We all know that if I go ahead and I plant wheat, barley, and grapes together, that is bad. That's an issur d'oraisa, and the resulting product is asa v'achila, asa manoah, v'tikdash, disaster, kili hakerem. Now, that imagery of planting kili hakerem, how do you think of that? If I would tell you, describe to me in your mind, what are you thinking of the case of kili hakerem? What's your image of a kili hakerem? You have a farmer, right? He's probably wearing overalls, okay? And what's he doing? He has a vineyard, right? And he goes ahead right next to his vineyard and he takes his seeds, Johnny apple seed, takes his wheat seeds and his barley seeds, has to be a combination of all three, and he throws in the wheat and the barley right on top of it where the grapes are growing. And then 6 months later, this unbelievable plant comes out. Anyone know what that plant is going to be, by the way? All those botany experts. What's going to come out of that wheat and barley and grapes?
Grape
wheat.
What? Grape wheat.
What do you think is going to happen? When it comes to harvesting 6 months later, what do you think he's going to harvest? What's it going to look like? What's it going to taste like? What's it going to be like? Like grape nut cereal? Like, what do you think it's going to be? You know what it's going to look like? It's going to look like the wheats are going to grow as a wheat stalk, the barley is going to grow as a barley stalk, and the grapes are going to grow like grapes. Absolutely nothing is going to happen. Zero is going to happen. Nothing. This is not like grafting fruit. All those boys who never were on a farm, this is not like grafting fruit. Like if you graft an apple onto a, what? Onto a pear, you get a what? What are these apple pears, right? Okay? You get a different looking fruit. Let's say you take a peach and an apricot, you get a nectarine, right? Is that right? So you get a different color shape, a different chaf. So here, you get the exact same thing. All right? But the Torah says that, strangely enough, this is the one that's also with the rice, with this rechim, with the sohadah. We have to get all that do, but yeah, but it's okay. But here, this is Issa Gom. Okay? Fine. So comes the Mishnayos and Kelayim and say, you can have situations of creation of Kelayim that are not a boy to do this. Not that the guy's actively taking and planting seeds. It can happen in a much more subtle way. So the Mishnayos give two descriptions of a subtle way. One way is, I'm planting my grapes, my field. And you're planting your wheat on your field. And that's okay. As long as there's a separation between the two. And the separation has to be a halachic mechitza. And here's where most of the sugyas of making Erevin through Tzuras HaPesachs actually appear in the context of Kelayim. So comes the Gemara in the first part of Erevin and says, as long as it's halachically a mechitza, it could even be poles with strings on top of it, that's also okay. That breaks up the Isra of Kelayim. Which is a very, very strange concept. Why is that strange concept? I'm planting my wheat, and then the other guy's planting his grapes, and there's just a string across the top. Or even if there's a wall across the top, what's the problem? Goes underneath. The roots got it. What's the answer? That's okay. There's nothing wrong with that. Why is there nothing wrong with that? Well, why is that okay? It's the same nurse. It's the same intertangling of roots that are happening. The answer is that the issue of Kelayim is it has to give off the impression of what? Of a tarevis, of a mixture. I don't mean tarevis, like a chicken soup. It has to give off the impression of a balgam. That's the name of the issue of Kelayim. You know what the Targum is? What's the title of the word Kelayim? Anyone know? What's the translation of the word Kelayim? It's a tricky question. What's the only word that's a name of a Masechta, and the Targum is also a name of a different Masechta?
What?
The Aramaic translation for the word Kelayim, look at the Targum, is Erevin. That's the word. Erevin means Mu'urab, means mixed together. The Isser of Kelayim, you guys are probably thinking, this is Baba Kamas, the Targum for Beitza, Bruch, the Targum for Yevamas, Kelayim, the Targum for Kelayim is Erevin. Says Taisus, the whole nature of the Yisr is to have a Balgam, to have a Tarayvus, to have a, you look at this field, you say, Gaval Keshrigi, there's a big mix-up over here. If you have a wall in between the two, even if it's a halachic wall, that's good enough. That breaks up the Tarayvus, it breaks up the Erevin Shemai. So everything is hunky-dory, this is about I'm planting my wheat, you're planting your grapes, and the bugs are on top of each other. They're 3 inches away from each other. There's a wall in between. Until we have a problem. You know what the problem is? Mechitzas akerim shenifritz. So the wall breaks down. Somebody smashes a hole in the wall. So now the Gemara is an Erevin of Hokan HaSugyas. Well, what does that mean? How big is the pirtz? Is it Tanamas? Not Tanamas? Is it Omerul parts? All the Sugyas in the first part of the Erevin. But Tachas says a lot of pirtz in the wall. So the wall is ice wall. So now we have a problem. Okay, so we have a problem. So from here on in, anything that grows is going to become problematic. Whatever grew Kolzman, there was a wall there, that was at the Gomer. Whatever grows Kalahaba is going to become a problem. What does the Mishnah say? What does the Mishnah say? How much can grow and you're still okay? If it grows less than a 200th, that means if you think about it, so let's say I had a grape before, okay? This was the grape pre-wall falling down. Now that the wall falls down, now the grape is a trifle bigger. So let's say this is measures to, I don't know, what measurement should we use for this? Okay, exactly. Make it easy first. Let's say this was 100, I don't know. Units, okay, 100 units of something, of grape units, measurements, okay? If this was 100, and now it's what? Now it's 100 in 1. So what do I have here? This is all heter. So this part is all heter, if you think about it. But I have a little drops over here that grew be yisr. So what do I have here, Rabbi Sai? I have a teraivis. But the problem is I don't have the right numbers because I have a little bit of trephus of kilah kerb that's mixed in, indiscernible, the rest of the grape, which is only 100. I don't have the right shear of 200, so I have to ask for the grapes. That's what the Mishnah says. But what if I have better than that? What if I have 200? And now it's only 201, so I'm good to go, right? Because if I stop, if I fix the wall right before it only got to a 201, so I can say, Baruch Hashem, there's a little bit of Chazr in here, a little bit of Kilah Kerem in here, but it's about to be Yechad HaMasayim. But if I was lazy and didn't fix the wall right away, so it's going to keep on growing, right? So it's going to keep on growing, so now soon it's going to be 202. And once it goes over 201, I now have a problem, because that's what's called Hasif Masayim. Okay? So once a Mosif, more than a ratio of 1 to 200, I now have a problem. So that's a Beferisha Mishnah as well. Know what's the problem? Numa Abaya. What? Tam Kama Bottle? Okay, the Rosh is sitting here and saying, I told you don't ask this kasha. Don't, just listen to me, says the Rosh. Tam Kama Bottle doesn't exist. But the Raivin and Ramban and others who say, nope, Tam Kama Bottle exists. Let's say Tam Kama Bottle over here. So big deal, I have 202. What's the big deal? Who else would be bothered by this kasha? This is only a shear of what? Midrabanan, right? The whole notion of bitul is only minatari bala bitul barov. So minatari can go up to 199 and you're okay. So if this is only a shear rabbanon, which other great paisek would be bothered with this kasha? The girl also. So now we're collecting kashas. So this is case number 2. Okay, as a corollary of case number 2, there's another case of Hosef Masayim, not identical in the scenario, but the same basic principle, and that is the sugya of Ma'ar Atetz Nokov. Has everyone heard of Ma'ar Atetz Nokov recently? When did we talk about Ma'ar Atetz Nokov? We spoke about it. By the Mordechai, right? By Dovashesh, by Bias Olbetarobes, right? We talk about it? Yeah, we probably mentioned under my breath. Okay. Ma'ar Atetz Nokov is like this. The guy's walking with a flower pot that just happens to have a hole in the bottom. Now that's a big problem. Why? Holes in the bottom, the Gemara says again, it's like b'chubal karka. That's a dimin ha-torah, because it's like yonik bin karka. Even though it's 6 feet off the ground, it doesn't matter. So I'm walking with my flower pot, and what do I have inside my flower pot? I happen to have some wheat seeds, some wheat and barley seeds inside my flower pot. I'm taking a shpatzir, and I see a beautiful vineyard over there. I want to go check it out. So I carry my flower pot with a hole in the bottom, and I knock on the guy's door in his vineyard, and he says, boom. I come in, I'm standing there with my flower pot with a hole in the bottom of the vineyard. What is happening as this conversation is taking place? It's growing. It's unique. And my flower pot and my wheat and my barley are mechubiyachan, and the sizcha kamar kalayim is about to take place before our very eyes. Now, if I hang around for too long, what's going to happen? I'm going to have to measure how much the grapes were before and how much they are now. And I may come to the realization that they were mosif what? More than masayim. What does the Mishnah say? Amavrat sasayim, hosif masayim, hareza osor. That's going to be a problem. Okay? So no, why is it going to be a problem? What's so terrible? Why don't we say what? When the first teeny drop started to grow, it was less than Messiah, so it was what it was. Bottle, kama bottle. According to the Ravid, kama bottle. According to the Rabban, kama bottle. According to the Goin, kama bottle. According to the Rosh, I told you so, the Muslim thing is kama bottle. So this is the second kasha. So again, this was Shmita. This was Kiliat Kerem. And within Kiliat Kerem, we have two cases. There's Kiliat Kerem number 1 of Bechitza Kerem. And application number 2, we had what was Ma'avir Atetz Nokov. But again, it's the same basic case. So far, so good. Okay? Everyone with us? Kabbalah. Yeah.
How do you say that there's a kagam batal, there's no tarobis to begin with.
What do you mean no tarobis? Once this grape starts to expand, so some of the grape that's growing from here on in is also. It's growing urov with wheat. So that little molecules of grape that are growing in the state of tarobis with wheat are also. So now that those molecules are getting urov into this grape. So I don't know where those molecules are. That's a classic tarobis. Okay, everyone figured out these two cases? Three cases, right? This was easy, no? Go give me the third case.
I think we're in different areas of halacha. What's the third case?
So we need just a very, very quick introduction. Okay? There is a halacha that there are two ways to make a mikvah. One is through a collection of rainwater, and one is through a flowing spring of spring water. One is called a mikvah, and one is called a mayon. Alright? One of the big, big differences between the two, either one of them is kosher. One of the big, big differences in the two is that the mayon is metahir even bezochlin, even when it's moving. Every mayon is moving. Anyone admit the Ari's mikvah? The Ari's mikvah is not a mikvah. It's a misnomer. It's really the Ari's mayon, because it's an undergrowing spring that flows. So comes the halacha and says that it's a flowing spring water, that's okay. Spring water means that the water came from underground. Rainwater means it came from the clouds. Now, we all know there's a water cycle. Chazal also knew that there's a water cycle. The water comes up, then the halacha is nikva from the last place it came from. So if it came up from the ground, that's called meimayin. If it came down from the clouds, that's called meimikva. So the din is that meimayin is metar bezochlin, but meimikva is not metar bezochlin. Megishama not metar bezochlin. It has to be yikava meimayin, has to be in one place. And if the rainwater is moving, that mikva is a disaster. And the pasuk says it's posel mamash bikra dimidaraisa. So again, so if you have I want to go into this body of water. And it's moving, so you have to make sure you know where the source of the water is. If the source of the water is from underground spring, that's okay. If the source of the water is from the clouds, then you have a huge problem. That's called the psul of zochalin. The Mishnah says that sometimes you can have a body of water, it's not clear what it is. Is it spring water? Is it rainwater? What's the problem? Because there's a lot of it, believe it or not. There's a tarobis, there's a mixture, it's got a little of both. So actually, the Gemara describes what's a very, very famous type of body of water that usually has a little bit of both?
Rivers
have both, because rivers usually have underground springs that some of the water is contributing to, but rivers also get a lot of water from what? From either from rainwater or from melted snow, which is basically just rainwater. So the Mishnah says that when you have these bodies of water that are both, and they're moving, rivers are moving, they're always moving, so you have to know, can I use the river to make or not? So the answer is, it depends what the what is. Everything follows. What's the rove? If rove of this water, in this body of water right now, is rainwater, then it's possible bezochlin. If most of the water is underground spring water, then it's kosher bezochlin. Not always so easy. Sometimes not so easy at all to tell. And in fact, the answer to that question may be different at different times of the year. That's what the Gemara in the Dar of Daf Mem is a very famous figure. There's a very, very famous river. One of the most famous rivers in the world is the Euphrates River, the Har Pras. So the Gemara says, what's the story in Har Pras? Can you use it or not? It's Zochel, it's always moving. What's the answer? You have to know a lot about geology, know a lot about rivers, and know, is this more rainwater or more spring water? Anyone know what the source for the Euphrates River is? Where does Euphrates get a lot of water from? Off the what? Off the mountains of Turkey, the melted snow off the mountains of Turkey. So that provides, that's like the beginnings of the Euphrates. There we go. You know when they serve you on the plane that water in the Fermi packs, the food? You take a look at it. What does it say? It's always from Turkey. Okay, why? It must be cheaper water. It's always from Turkey. So that's what?
Of course it's cheapest.
So that's not pros water. So in theory, if it wouldn't be shuvim because it's in a cup, if you have 40 sun, that you can be tied on that. Okay, fine. So that's the real McCoy. So Rabbi Sai, I have this water coming off the slopes of the mountains down the Turkish mountains, mixing in with other sources of the Har Pras. Also, there are underground springs. And I got this whole flowing body of water. Here I am, I'll not bubble. I'm trying to know, Rabbi, can I be toivel in this water or not? I want to know, is this mostly spring water, which would be okay? Or is it mostly Turkish water off the melted snow off the caps of Istanbul, and it's a problem? So how would you know the answer to that question? Very few people would be able to answer that question intelligently. One of the people who did know the answer to the question was Avuah de Shmuel. He had to know that he was the rabbi. He was the rabbi in Bavel. So he had to know the answer to that question. So you know what his famous psak was? What do you think? It depends. Depends what time of the year it is. So on some times of the year, there's an awful lot of rain, an awful lot of melted snow. Other times of the year, there's much less rain and much less melted snow. So therefore, the Gemara has a following split. The Gemara says that B'yomi de Nisan, in the springtime, we're coming up soon to Yom Nisan, you cannot use the Euphrates River to Tudlin. You know why? Because it's the end of the rainy season, so it means it's been raining a lot, and it's the end of the snowy season, so now all that's getting warm, all the snow is beginning to melt, so the Euphrates overflows in the springtime. Okay? Mashayim Kain, in the Yom Tishrei, Rosh Hashanah time, it's been dry season for a few months already, so all the melted snow melted already months before. And whatever rain, it hasn't rained in 6 months. So now the Euphrates is going to be much lower, but the bulk of the Euphrates at that time of the season, that time of the year, is going to be actually underground spring water. So the Gemara says that was the Pesach of Shmuel Ovid Levante, for his own daughters, Ovid Levante Mikvos Biyome Nisan, in the months of the springtime when the Euphrates was off limits, he would construct mikvos for his daughters. But he didn't. They didn't use those mikvahs in the winter, in the fall time. Then they were talking about Tevel in the Euphrates itself. So that's the famous talk of the Gemara. That all depends on the time of the year. I told this over before that when the second Gulf War happened. Does anyone remember when it was? The end of March, if I'm not mistaken, when the Americans invaded Iraq, right? Towards the end of the Purim comes, right? The end of March. They invaded Iraq, and I was listening on the radio, and they had this commentator who was giving a whole shtigl Torah as to why they had to time this attack right now, because it all had to do with the cycles of the Euphrates River. The whole Langa Megillah about how that this is the right time to cross the Euphrates, and this, because the overflowing snow and the overflowing water. Langa Megillah says this is the window of time. It was Mamshesh Chash Nisan. This is the window of time. If you wait another couple, it would be too late. I remember thinking to myself that the world has changed a lot in the last 2,000 years, but the Euphrates River does the exact same thing it's been doing for the last 2,000 years. It flows and then it goes down, flowing like that. Everything hasn't changed. It's not going to change to the end of time. So I could have given this open. I don't need this guy from the American military to give you a whole shtickle Torah about the. I could have even said it's a Ron, a very sure Ron in the Durham that explains exactly what how the Euphrates goes ups and downs at which time of the year. Yeah, I'm not sure. Okay, good. So, come to Hashem and say, I have a big problem, huge problem. What's the baseline of the Euphrates? What's the starting point? What messes up the Euphrates is what? Is all that extra rain and melted snow. That's the problem. What's the baseline? There's an awful lot of spring water. So if we could somehow get rid of all that rainwater, we'd be good to go. But the problem is, in the rainy season, it rains so much that it overtakes the spring water. You know what's the kasha? Kamagara bottle. The starting point is, you know, here's my river. It's blue. Here's my river. And now it's raining, it's pouring, and it's snowing, everything's coming in. Every drop that goes in, we should say, kama, bottle. So why does the Gemara say that Avuah de Shmuel pasul the Euphrates? What's the big deal? Everything is the kama, bottle. What happened to Kamakar Bottle? So once again, who's sitting in the background and saying, I told you not to ask this Kasha? The Rosh says, but Chayiz of Neir, you're done, your history. But according to the Ravid, nope. You have a good Kasha, Shtaka Kasha. So these are the 3/4 Kashas that everyone figured out these Kashas from the Marmar Kermis? Give or take, a little bit here and there. Okay. Did we gain something from Gorbat Tashir? The Masha, okay, good. Okay.
Kind of circular this last case, so like we're just like kind of picking which one's the baseline and which one is ruined by.
Yeah, well, the facts are there's an awful lot of spring water. Haraya, that at times when there's no rainwater or very limited rainwater, we're okay.
But what if we said like that in the rainy season now is the baseline, and then like as the water like falls away,
but eventually when the water, the
stream water,
but we're going to reach some point where the mikvah is going to be kosher. The Gemara says Beferish, in the fall time, the mikvah is kosher. So at that point, fall, Tufshin Pei, the mikvah is kosher. So now it starts to rain, it starts to melt snow and everything. So why is the problem? It was kosher 6 months ago. Every drop that falls in, is right to come a bottle. So these are the 3/4 kashas that are presented. No, who's got some tirutzim for me?
Continuous. I'm not sure this is an answer or another question, but I make fun. Once you have 40 things, you can even bring water on your shoulder and pour it in.
Gavaldik, Mardik, Kasha. It was a phenomenal Kasha. It was a Tumas Adeshin's Kasha. And Tumas Adeshin said that you're not right. Tumas Adeshin said that, yes, it's true, you can put all the she'uvim you want. Didn't we just talk about this? Is that a shock, all right?
It's a mission.
But this is not she'uvim. This is mixing me mayon and me yishamim. Right? So the din of hashofa was said on mayim tmeimu, said on mayim shuvim. This is a different kind of absol. It's a famous kasha to a sedefra. Those are very, very good kasha. Okay? Rabbi said, no, what's the answer to this phenomenon? What's the answer to this phenomenon, Rabbi said? So, Shimon tells me this is the answer. Kama botil means like this. Kama, stop, walk around, go down mincha, send it out, come back again. Kama. Go play some, shoot a few hoops, shower, come back. Comes a bit of time and says, kama botil means when a little bit of issa fell in, and then it stopped, and there was an end of story, and there was an official formal declaration that this is mutar because the story ended. And now you want to add in an hour later, a week later, a month later, a year later. So zin nemakama kamaboto. But when the flow is ongoing, it never stopped. That's not kama kamaboto. We view this as one ongoing creation of a taravis. So it ain't over till it's over. Until the water stops, until the grain stops growing, until the wine stops pouring. Whatever is coming, b'vasachas, as long as there hasn't been a clear line of demarcation, says Rabbi Tam, you cannot say kama kama bota. So no matter what you think about kama kama bota, even if you're a big Ravid person, even if you're a big Ramban person, you're a grok, whatever degree, again, the Rush left a long time ago, even within those who believe in kama kama bota, says Rabbi Tam, kama kama bota is undermined if it's all happening with a non-stop action. That's the Rabbi Tam's big break. And this solves all the problems. Because this drop is growing. It keeps on growing. It doesn't stop growing. It doesn't stop growing. It doesn't stop raining. But what would the din be if it stopped raining? Quench your benetam. What would the din be, lu yitzuya, that it stopped raining in the middle? It means, let's say, it's not a deluge of flood. It's not flood water. It says, it rains for a day, and that little bit that it rains, it's not going to knock all that much. And let's say, in September, the Euphrates was perfectly good. The day after Sukkot, it starts to rain. So it rains a little bit. The numbers are still in your favor. It stops raining. It's sunny for a week. And then it starts to rain again. Then it stops. You know what Rebbeinu Tam would say? He'd say, guess what? The mikvah is tamekosh. The Gemara says it's possible. What's the answer? Because it's impossible to have a no. How can you practically tell a person? You can be telling them afraid because I remember the weather forecast from last February. It's not... Once I'm testing the water and I see there's so much rainwater here, for me to tell you that it's like almost like a low plug. But until you really truly knew, what would it then be? That would be mutter. It's not going to be than mutter, says Rabbeinu Tam. Mamash mutter. This is part of a whole theory of Rabbeinu Tam, just as an aside, Nochas Mikvals. This is part of a theory of Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam says, you know, rivers are not so bad. You're really, really not so bad, rivers. First of all, says Rabbeinu Tam, all problems of rivers really, truly are not problems deraisa. They can never be deraisa problems. You know why? Because it doesn't rain for 6 months straight. So it's always going to be really, truly kind of ikar adin. The river's really kosher. It's kind of with the Gemara says you can't use the rivers. That was a little plug there. A chumah there. But ikar because then the river's kosher. And then Rabbeinu Tam, by the way, for good luck, Rabbeinu Tam says, you know what? We passed it. It was always okay. You know why? Rabbeinu Tam dug up a Gemara Maseches Tainus that he claims is the machlekes of sugyos in the whole machlekes. The Gemara whole chadyadya. Rabbeinu Tam says that even though it's rainy season, there's a lot of rainwater. You can always assume there's more spring water. It's just the facts of life. That's the way it is. And Rabbeinu Tam put together those two factors. Number one, that he said the whole thing is on a chumra d'rabban anyway, because kama kama bottle saves the day because it's not continuous. And number two is up to Rabbeinu Tam. We probably pass in that it's impossible to ever really have Rov Gisham, just the way the layout of rivers is. And therefore, one fell swoop, you know what Ben Adam said? You can actually use rivers when? Whenever you please. Rainy season, sunny season, spring season, summer season, you name it. Rivers are always kosher, mikra din. And we don't paskin like who? Like Avodah Shmuel's daughters in the Kvos. We paskin that rivers are good to go all the time. That was a famous trap of the time. The reason why Rabbeinu Tam, not really the reason why he said it, but he was so comfortable saying it. Why? Because he held that even according to the Machmirim, it's only a what? It's only a derabban anyway, because Kamakar Vopal saves the day. So Rabbeinu Tam's whole sheet about, yes, all rivers are kosher lechetchilish lechetchila, was predicated in his understanding that we don't really have a serious problem here anyway, min haTorah, because everything is covered by kama kama bato. Famous sheet of Rabbeinu Tam that the Ran quotes. Ooh, that's quite a statement, Rabbeinu Tam. The Gemara says otherwise. Rabbeinu Tam, no, we don't really pass it. This Gemara, we pass in rivers are okay. We follow this Rabbeinu Tam. So the Chumash Hadeshen was a rov in Germany. He writes that there was a big problem in Germany. You know what the big problem was? There were these Jews who lived in these far-flung places. You have 2-3 Jews and some farm out in the middle of Hubertsville. And they couldn't build a mikvah. They didn't have the resources. Building a mikvah was expensive, even in the old days. Even out the fancy tiles, it's still expensive. The Pasha couldn't build a mikvah. So what are they supposed to do? So most towns in the Middle Ages were built on what? Where did populated centers? Well, there's no water. You can't live in the middle of nowhere because you had a transport thing. So even if you had 2-3 Jewish families, everyone lived near a river somewhere. So Jewish tradition writes, those Jews who lived in these far-flung places down the Mississippi somewhere, or down the Main River, the Oder River, or the Rhine River, or the rivers in Germany. So what does Jewish tradition say? They were lying under Manitam. And the women used to go to the mikvah in the rivers. It's all Zayin Rabbeinu Tam. The springtime, the summertime, the raintime, it's all Zayin Rabbeinu Tam. You know why? What were the three words that we're carrying today, according to Rabbeinu Tam? In our heart and soul, why are we so leaned about rivers? Because what do we believe in our heart and soul? Did you believe Kamakar Vopal is going to solve the mikveh crisis in Germany in the 1300s? I told you we learned Halach L'maaseh in Hashia. Kamakar Vopal. And not only did it solve the mikveh crisis, it solved the shidduch crisis also. It solved the shidduch crisis. How did it solve the shidduch crisis? Anyone know? How did it solve the shidduch crisis? There was a big shidduch crisis in the Middle Ages also. We're not the first ones to have this problem. We've just exasperated because we have modern technology, but the problem was there in the old days also. The Mordechai in Hilchos Mikvos writes that there was a following phenomenon in the Middle Ages. You know who it was? It was called shidduch resumes. You know who it was? It was called questionnaires. And the Mordechai, I kid you not, the Mordechai was a Rav also in Germany. Mordechai was killed on Kiddush Hashem. The Mordechai writes that, quotes from his Rebbe, he was a Talmud of the Maram of Rutenberg. He was a Chavar of the Rosh. And the Mordechai and the Rosh were saying they were the colleagues. They were both Talmud of the Maram of Rutenberg. Quotes from his Rebbe, that his Rebbe would get phone calls sometimes with the following Shaila. I heard this very nice Shidduch, a very nice girl. You know, how are the parents? You know, what kind of tablecloth do they use? You know, where do they daven? Where do they go away for Pesach? And all the regular standard questions. And then they used to ask the following question. I kid you not. Shteit in Rishayim, I couldn't have made it up on my own. Shteit in Rishayim, they would ask the following question. It wasn't Oila al Hadas to ask in the Middle Ages. So tell me, is the mother keep Tarsa Mishpacha? You're crazy. Which Jewish woman didn't keep Tarsa Mishpacha? That wasn't the Shaila. You know what the Shaila was? Does she use rivers or not? Does she toivel in the mikvah? Or does she from those mekilim who follow the psak of Rabbeinu Tam? And if they follow Rabbeinu Tam, we don't want to get married to her. We don't want to marry to that family. You show you. Take the favorite in Mordechai in Hilchos Mikvos in the second of Shavuos. So the Maram Rutenberg, the Rebbe of the Mordechai, was not happy with that question. And he said, chutzpah gedoyim to ask such a question. He said, me want to bother Rabbeinu Tam. Rabbeinu Tam gave the psak, it's okay. Yeah. You want to be machmir? You're going to apostle a girl who was conceived by a mother who called her Benatam, and Benatam gave her a kula. You're going to say, she can't marry her? Yeah, out of your minds? And then, the Eidish Lemmer says, remember the word. And even Lishi Toschem, that the tefillah is no good, and the parents violated neither their Isa, and everyone's got chorus. The child's kosher anyway. The child of an Isser Nida has no real problem. No kind of not mamzerus. It's a fair shikwas, not mamzerus. So even if the parents are not from Bechlam, what's the big deal? And then he says, and even the Machmirim against Rabbeinu Tam, they won't be Machmirim with the Rabbanim. With the rice, that's okay. Why? Because some kind of bottle. Or well, maybe a few other reasons. The whole thing is not Chumash there, but anyway. So don't pass the Shirach because of this anti-Rabbeinu Tam camp. That was Mam Rutenberg's response to the Kanoim of the 1200s. Okay? These are the things that people were interested in. Fundamentally, human nature hasn't changed. The lumbus of the kashas have changed, but the fundamental human issue hasn't changed. So Rabbeinu Tam, in one fell swoop, is solving the entire world's problems. It's all based on his premise of kama kama batel depends on, is it happening all at once, or is it happening in spurts? It's really big, stopping, so to speak. If it's stopping, starting, stopping, starting, stopping, starting.
But this wouldn't help the grow, right?
No, but it doesn't matter. What Rabbeinu Tam is saying is that you can't say kama kama bottle here. Oh, yeah, even if you're going to say kama kama,
yeah,
we'll talk it up, you're right.
Right.
Unless you hold that this is not a problem deraisa. Anyway, if you hold it zochman of this kind, you may not be rabban. It's not so clear this is zochman deraisa. That gets at the whole other angle of the Mikvoshan. Right, you're right. But this is Rabbeinu Tam. How did Rabbeinu Tam know this to be true? We state that Rabbeinu Tam and Ruach HaKedesh, that kama kama bottle only applies when it's stopping and starting. How did Rabbeinu Tam know that? What led Rabbeinu Tam to this conclusion? It makes sense, the Kutzvara. What led Rabbeinu Tam down this path? I thought we could finish this topic, but today we're nowhere near. You know, what led Rabbeinu Tam? Which of these cases on the board gives some kind of an indication of Rabbeinu Tam's usage? Which one? Chitza Kemshin Nefritza. So the Mishnah describes this scenario here. I'm planting my wheat, you're planting your grapes, everything's shown on my shoulders, Mechitza there. Mechitza Kemshin Nefritza Gaval. The wall breaks down. So what does the Beis Din immediately tell the person? Omloa, better fix it, Omloa Gador. And if you didn't fix it, what does it say? What does it say? Then you Mishar B'Masayim. So that's not what the Mishnah says. The Mishnah says, Mechitza Kemshin Nefritza, Om Lo Gador. What does it say in the next line? Nefritza breaks a second time, Om Lo Gador. Lo Gadra. There's a Kiddush, right? Then you have a problem. Posi B'Sayim, you have a problem. Why does the Mishnah say it broke down twice? Ma'ech Palti broke once, twice, 1,000. What's the difference? What was the point of highlighting how many times this flimsy wall broke down? What was the purpose? What did Rabbeinu Tam say? But the point of the Mishnah is to tell me that if the guy fixed the wall in between, what did he accomplish by fixing the wall in between? That's like what? That's like the rain stopped. That's like the pouring of the wine stopped. That was kama, kama, bottom. So when the Mishnah says, Hareza Kidesh, because Hosif Messiah, Hosif Messiah means each unit has to be Hosif Messiah. One of the units has to be Hosif Messiah. But you can't say, well, I was Hosif 1 in 300 before, and now 1 in 250 here, and I'll add them all together, and I'm in Hosif Messiah. No! The only way to be Mishayer, Hosif Messiah, is within one unit. Once you fix the wall, then what principle kicks in, says Rabbeinu Tam? The minute that wall was fixed for 1 second, what happens? Three magic words. Kama, kama, bottom. Rabbeinu Tam said, lit in the double Lashon HaMishnah. Nifritza Om Lo Gador, the fact that the Mishnah is superfluous and repeating it's not superfluous, it's to highlight this idea of it's critical, because that's going to, the issue of whether you say kama, kama, is going to hinge on that, whether the whole Sofas Messiah was within the one break or within numerous breaks that could be added together. You can't add up the breaks with kama, kama, bottom. Rabbeinu Tam sheet. But suffice it to say that other Rishonim said that is not at all why the Mishnah says twice. It had nothing to do with Kilah, it had to do with Hilchos Nezikin, and Hilchos Garni, nothing to do with anything, Rabbeinu Tam said. That is not the secret of this Mishnah, that's not even the secret of this Sugya. There are other reasons, other valid reasons why Kama Kama Batel falls by this wayside here. Nothing at all to do with Kama Kama Batel, nothing that's going to help us in Rikvos even. So Rabbi said, we have our work cut out for us. As to what are the other solutions in the Rishonim. Again, we're supposed to finish the sugya today, but we didn't. Hopefully, that's from tomorrow. We'll start with the Shia with the ends of this, the other two mahalchim in the Rishonim. We should really, really get into the next week of Shabbos. So please get over there. Tomorrow's Shia should be regular time, okay? I won't be around for the beginning of the day tomorrow. I have to take you, I have to give a Shia some.